many thermodynamical properties, transport properties. Today I'm going to talk about is the chaos aspect of the SYK model. So to start with, let's just look at a simple operator, a single fermion, and see how it grows under the rule of quantum mechanics. So the rule of quantum mechanics tells us if we start with a simple fermion, okay, so, and you start to apply time evolution, you will add a piece of more complicated operator which comes from the commutator with the Hamiltonian. So in this simple model, the commutator is simple. It's just a random superposition of all the other three operators. So it becomes basically a length three operator. So you can keep doing this. Pictorially, you will end up with a superposition of trees. So if you look at the operator at time t on the Heisenberg evolution, you start from a simple operator, you grow by branching, and you keep branching, and the branching point could be at arbitrary position in the time interval 0 and t, and the final result is a superposition of trees. We have a sense that the size of the operator will grow exponentially. This can be precisely characterized by this quantity, the commutator. So for fermion, it's anti-commutator. Anti-commutator of the original fermion on the time evolution and anti-commutator with a target fermion, k, and you sum over k. So for this quantity, if you have a larger tree which have more leaves, you have a larger probability to hit a target fermion, k. And you take square root to get rid of all the other operators. So this connection between the size of the operator and the anti-commutator square has been discussed in details in these two papers. So we will use this as an introduction to the automaton of the correlation function, which is a key ingredient inside this size of operator. So if you expand out the anti-commutator square, the key ingredient that growing exponentially is the automaton of the correlation function. Yeah, to be more precise, we're discussing automaton correlation function in this form, 0t, 0t, and the fermion indexes are the same for the fermion at the same time. From the previous picture that operator grows like a tree, we have a general expectation for how the OTOC behave. It will, in an O2O interacting system with a large number of degree of freedom, you expect this four-point function grows exponentially, and it will be suppressed by one of n because in the beginning, the probability of hitting a target is just one of n. And in general, it comes with a prefactor, and that prefactor will be the center of the discussion today. So we will use this form for the OTOC. It grows exponentially with exponent we call the Lyapunov exponent, and it's down by 1 over n, and there's a prefactor c. We are interested in early time behavior. So that means in general, you can draw a plot. It will saturate at some time, which we call scrambling time. We are interested in the early time behavior before the time scale long before the saturation. The goal today is to discuss the magnitude and the exponent of the OTOC, which is a process relation between C and the lambda. So what kind of relation do we expect? Let's check the example we know as SYK. In the paper by Monassini and Stanford, it has been computed exactly how the four-point function look like. In particular, in a strong coupling limit, the OTOC is enhanced by the coupling constant. It's enhanced by beta j, it's dimensionless coupling constant, due to the soft mode in the system, due to somehow a pseudo Goldenstone mode it induces a large fluctuation. So your correlation function will be big. So in our language, the C, which is the inverse of that, is 1 over beta j is small. It's of order 1 over beta j. On the other hand, we also know this SYK model is nearly maximal, nearly maximal chaotic. So the Lyapunov exponent is close to pi over beta. And it's more precisely to receive a correction. Receive a correction coming from 1 over beta j effect due to the conformal matters. So a simple understanding of SYK is consists of two sectors, which looks unrelated to each other. The first sector is called a soft mode, which describes how the coordinates fluctuate. The second sector is a lot of conformal matters. And the correction is in this form, 1 minus lambda over times beta over 2 pi is of order 1 beta j. So in the strong coupling limit, both this prefactor and this correction will vanish. However, their ratio keeps finite. More precise relation is stated for the cosine of this Lyapunov exponent over C. So in a near maximal chaos, a near maximal chaotic case, this cosine factor is can be approximated by this 1 minus lambda times beta over 2 pi, and the prefactor is C. So they have a finite limit. So what we will do in this talk is to derive an exact expression for this ratio. And this expression will involve a new time scale, which we call branching time. In the second part of the talk, I will show two types of application. First, this identity can be used as a computational shortcut. Second, I can use this identity to prove exact maximal chaos in, for example, a one-dimensional SYK-like model. Okay, any question before I go into derivation?
No, you probably said this, but just to clarify, what is the significance of C?
Yeah, what's the significance of C? Actually, in the application part, you will see the significance of C. C in this case, it's characterized it's characterized amplitude of quantum fluctuation. So the fact that C is small is due to the fact that there's a pseudo Gödel's mode. How to make C large? You can go to one case we can compute exactly is the so-called large Q limit of SYK, where you promote the interaction from four fermion interaction to Q fermion interaction. And in that case, you can compute four-point function exactly at a weak coupling limit. In that case, C will be order one. So that's large. There's no soft mode associated with that. In that model, in a weak coupling. Mm-hmm.
So small C means larger?
Well, so OTOC itself is small because of M, but it's somehow big because of beta J. So it's a relatively big quantum fluctuation. Everything is suppressed by 1 of N. In this talk, I will set N goes to infinity first. So it's a softer quantum fluctuation. Okay. I will try to derive an expression for that. So to make life easier, let's set beta equal 2 pi. So the Lyapunov exponent will be a number between 0 and 1.
So with a softer quantum fluctuation, you have a smaller.
Yes.
I thought if you have softer quantum fluctuation, you can have more of them. Excited, then maybe your system will be more easily
scrambled.
So uh-huh.
You can quantify the strength of scrambling by either the Lyapunov exponent or the prefactor. I mean, you can make sense of them. But what you said is probably an intuition why C is small in this case.
That picture kind of tells me C should be larger.
C is the, so prefactor is one over C.
Oh, prefactor is one over C.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe it's a bit confusing. Okay. So we will consider, more precisely, we'll consider average the OTOC, so you average over all the indices. And then we consider a more general formula T1 with four different time, T1, T2, T3, T4. And in order to be OTOC, you still set T1, T2 close to each other and much bigger than T3 and T4. Such four-point function can be nicely drawn in the double Cavendish contour. So you start from, so this vertical axis is imaginary time. You start from T4, you act T4 first, and then T2, T3, T1. And you have two Cavendish contours. And I draw the contour to the left, yeah, because I will act, later I will act operators on it. And writing down this formula, you can have a choice of putting regulators. So a particularly convenient regulator is called a symmetric configuration. So you put basically one quarter of a density matrix between each two fermions, and so such that in the imaginary time they are separated equally. So the separation between T2 and T4 in imaginary time is pi over two, and so on. This symmetric configuration is useful because it can get rid of the phase factor, phase dependence in the prefactor, such that so in this configuration OTOC is real. And then we will denote this particular configuration as OTOC T1, T2, T3, T4. So to compute.
The obvious question is whether you're just changing the physics by doing this.
Yeah, so at least we can prove in SYK model is independent. And numerically, if you add a Hopping term, some bilocal term in the chain, some lattice model, it's also independent of the regulation. There's some argument behind that. What are the
For numerics, even in the SYK model, it's very different if you do it in this regularization or in the. So there is no way you can see the out of time order correlation in numerics. I think you're right that the long time limit is correct.
Yeah, so if we use
in
this.
There is no chance of seeing it in the usual regularization, but you can see the auto growing.
Yeah, so numerics, you mean something like ED or.
ED, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But in a different numerics, I mean solving the beta stability equation.
Oh, yeah, well, but that's in the long time limit.
That's right. So yeah, today I'm going to discuss somehow long time, but not as long as the scrambling time. So longer than the dissipation time, which is beta in this case. Okay. Well, the intuition behind that the regularization doesn't matter is because you prepare your basically the thermal ensemble and you perturb it somehow butterfly effect should be independent of how you particularly perturb it. At least the strongest statement. Like you can perturb your system arbitrarily and you still see this scramble. So let's trying to so okay. So how to solve the Lyapunov exponent practically in a condensed matter setting. It turns out that the Lyapunov exponent can be determined by an integral equation. We can start with general four-point function. We have seen this maybe. Oh, sorry. This general four-point function can be computed in the leading order one over n by summing over ladder diagrams. So basically, you compute the four-point function and write down the Feynman diagrams contribute to it, and they found that in the leading order one over n, all the diagrams looks like ladders ladders with different number of rungs, and you sum all of them. And this equation can be summarized as into a beta Sylpeta equation, where the f denotes the sum of all the contributions. It satisfies the equation that you put an additional rung to it, it go back to itself if you add an additional bare term. Okay, this is the four-point function in Euclidean. You can calculate, you can derive a similar equation for OTOC. So OTOC is just a different version with you just derive a similar equation on the doubled Cavendish contour. In that case, you will have a complicated scenario where the rungs can end at different folds in the Cavendish contour. However, in the end, when you sum over all of them, you end up with still a simple equation. The difference comparing to the previous case is when you attach additional rung, you replace the Euclidean correlator by the retarded function. So you attach additional rung, you can attach into two additional rungs, and you end up with an equation similar to the previous case. Summing over all the contributions is equal to acting this operator on itself plus the bare term. So this operator, will be called a retarded kernel. So the previous operator, you can call it kernel, it's integral kernel. We can further simplify it by noticing that we are extracting the exponential growing piece. So this f naught doesn't grow exponentially in the long time limit, in the long time but before saturation. In this limit, this term is small exponentially. It's done by some exponential in time factor. So you end up with a linear equation, f equals retarded kernel acting on f itself. So here, the explicit expression for retarded kernel is a multiply of four Green's function. Two retarded Green's function and two Whiteman function. In other words, you can treat this equation as an Eigen equation. F is an eigenvector of K with eigenvalue 1. Now we have an equation. Let's try to find a convenient answers to solve it. Convenient answers we will use, and it actually works for many cases, including SYK and some gravitational case, is the so-called single mode answers. It's basically imagine that there's a virtual particle called a scramble on mediates the effects of chaos. So your OTOC can be written as exponential factor times the dependence on T1 to T3, 4, and then the dependence will be summarized into a vertex function, YR, YA. And then the Yapping exponent, you can interpret it as a propagator of a scramble. Now we plug this answers into the equation. The operator actually only acts on the left part, T1 and T2. So although it's an equation involving four time, it actually can be simplified into an equation acting on two times. So you can write down the explicit formula, the retarded Green's function, retarded vertex times the exponential growing piece depends on center mass time. The retarded vertex function only depends on T1 minus T2. I will use shorthand T1 to format. And the kernel is a function of four time acting on it. You need to integrate over the intermediate time. So the dummy variables T5, T6. This is an operator acting on function of two times, which is not that easy to deal with. In particular, you want to diagonalize it numerically. What you can do is to further simplify it. You move the dependence on center mass time to the other side of the equation, and then the equation will look like an Eigen equation for a function one time. So you split your integral T5, T6 into the separation of the this distance. And also the center mass position of that. So you first integrate over the center mass position, and you can define new operator, which we call it a variant of a kernel. And in the end, it's a shooting problem. What you do is to you just assume some Lyapunov exponent, and you define this generalized kernel, which I wrote it here. It's just a clean up of this one. you define it for arbitrary alpha. Alpha is the exponent that appears here. And you, now it's the operator acting on function one time. You can diagonalize it in computer conveniently. And you can, well, in the case of strong coupling SYK, you can also diagonalize analytically. You can find out the eigenfunctions and the eigenvalues of this operator. And you are looking for the eigenvalue one.
Your entity is supposed to work at short times, right?
It's supposed to work after a dissipation time before the scrambling time. So it's supposed to work when this answer makes sense.
Okay. So I guess in the next slide, where are you using that input? Like, I'm assuming you're integrating over all times in your kernel in there.
That's right.
So
yes.
Any simplification for just looking at times shorter than the scrambling time, or?
Yeah. That's because for time shorter than the scrambling time, you are having a very long time separation, and that will be done by expansion factor. So basically, due to the structure of this operator, it actually don't care about that time scale. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. So how does this program look like? Now you have defined a continuous family of the retarded kernel. For alpha smaller than zero, you can generically diagonalize it. You find a bunch of eigenfunctions. So yeah, this operator have many eigenvectors. So have many eigenfunctions, and you have a family of eigenvalue for a particular alpha. Yeah, for any alpha, you will have many of them. I just lay out three of them. It generically will have this structure. They look like that. It's monotonic. It goes to zero. And we are looking for the solution k equals 1, because we are solving an eigen equation, trying to find the eigenvalue 1. So basically look for the largest one. And denote as small k as function of alpha, and solve equation k equals 1. So look for the intersect. And then that alpha will be your Lyapunov exponent. So solving Lyapunov exponent nails down to solving this equation. This is nice. So using this kinetic equation method, you basically find almost everything in the ANSAS. So you find the Lyapunov exponent, and the corresponding eigenvector will be the vertex function. And you can solve another vertex function by solving the equation the other way around. And so now the only missing piece is the C, the prefect C. The prefect C is impossible to get using this method because it's a linear equation. You can put an arbitrary C in your equation. So if you want to know the full answer, what you can do is use ladder identity, which is the main topic today. The ladder identity tells you that if you know all the others, you can back out C using this equation. It's an equation contains a cosine factor of Lyapunov exponent and an inner product of vertex function. Inner product is a natural inner product. You have a function one time, you integrate over the time, but you need to sandwich with some Whiteman function. So Q is the number of interactions, fermion interactions. And there's a key factor here, which we will call branching time, is the derivative of the function kr we define at the Lyapunov exponent. In other words, it's a slope here. So we call it branching time as a new time scale. And let me justify the name by a simple calculation. So we call it branching time. So in principle, we should be able to interpret it as total time divided by an average number of rungs. That's average distance of two branches. Average distance between two rungs. That's the somehow the, how long you need to wait for next branching. To count the number of rungs, what you can do is to still use this four-point function. This sum over all number of rungs, and then the average number of rungs will be just a weighted sum of the n, and normalized by the total amplitude. It looks hard to compute such quantity. However, we can use a generating function, the auxiliary generating function, which is basically the Fourier transform model of the FN. And using this generating function, you can write down a simple formula for average number of n, which is the log derivative for the generating function. So generating function is nice, and it has a simple diagrammatic interpretation. So the generating function comparing to the actual four-point function, it's only differed by a phase factor. And the phase factor, you can assign them to each rung. So you have a bunch of diagram with additional phase factor, and you can solve a game by using the kinetic equation. The kinetic equation will involve a kernel. Now it's a new kernel which contains a phase factor. However, you can write down a simple equation like this. So the e to the i theta multiplied the original previous kernel function equals to 1. So you're solving this equation, you can get the growing piece of the generating function. And taking log derivative of it, you can figure out the growing rate. And the net growing rate will turns out to be something related to TB. And
so here you try to interpret this diagram.
Right.
This diagram, is it just a mathematical construction, or is it
Yeah, that's actually the open question, how to see this TB in a more generic setting. But this branch line, I mean, it's ladder diagram, but you can also see it from the previous picture here. That's about the average branching here. Because the four-point function is, roughly speaking, you fix J, fix K, and then now you can put more branches here, and you compute a square a little bit, you just copy of it, and then you deform the picture, it will become this ladder diagram. So it's roughly speaking how often your operator tends to branch. Yeah, I'm running slow. Here, I justify the meaning of branching using this simple calculation. And the TB is typically an order one number in the unit of Lyapunov time. So for example, in the SYK Q equals 4 model, it's like 2/3. And it's in the large Q model, it's 3/2 of the Lyapunov time. Okay, now we have introduced all the quantities in this identity. Let me sketch the derivation of this ladder identity. So the key idea in this derivation, well, you can come up with many derivations, but I will present one that we wrote in the paper. The idea behind this derivation is to find a consistent condition for the ladder diagrams. It's basically your ladder diagram has some composition property, and then you can use this property to derive a non-trivial identity. So the idea is for a typical ladder diagram, you can cut in the middle. And when you cut in the middle, well, you can glue it back. However, when you cut in the middle, you will end up with basically two OTOC. So the consistent condition is you cut in the middle, it consists of two OTOCs, they glue through this box. The box is chosen such that, so first you choose a time zero, it's just your favorite number here, and then you find your nearest neighbor rungs, and you form a box. Get rid of box, you will see OTOC T1, T5, T2, T6, and another OTOC T7, T3, T8, T4, and when you glue it back, it should go back to the previous OTOC. So the consistent condition is this equation. On one side, you have one OTOC, on the other side, you have two OTOCs. So on one side, you have one prefactor, on the other side, you have two prefactors. So you can write down a non-trivial equation for the prefactor. Okay, let me, that's the basic idea, and let me explain every turns. Where do they come from? So naively, we can write, as I said, naively we can write down equation like this. OTOC equals left OTOC times a box times a right OTOC. However, this is too naive, because if you really cut in the double Kadish contour, the left OTOC will have multiple choice. So you can end your cutting point on the upper rail or the lower rail in the Kadish contour. These two will give independent contribution. And they contain different phase factor. You need to sum the contribution of two, which is e to the I lambda times pi over 2 plus e to the minus I lambda pi over 2. So that's where the cosine factor comes. So the left OTOC has some subtlety. The right OTOC doesn't have that, because choosing in the upper or lower will be equivalent for the right side. So that's the prefactor. That's a cosine factor. Now the box. We need to deal with the box. Box has a functional, so has this familiar picture. So has a familiar looking as the kernel. So in the middle, the gluing means we need to integrate over the time t5, t6, t7, t8. And then that's the key part we need to integrate. But we can separate this integral into integral of time separation here. And then there's a global time translation for this box. And there's also you can vary the size of this box. So the key part is you will have an integral of the size of the box. And there's a central mass time integration. So the central mass time integration, you cannot do it from minus infinity to plus infinity, because we have assumed that this box cannot move away from the T0 line. So the actual range you can move depends on the size of the box. So the integral of the central mass time will just give you the size of the box. Well, how does this complicated looking expression related to the branching time? Now, if we forget about the S factor, if we forget about this T star S factor, then we end up with this picture. And you can change the order of integration. You can first do the integral of the size of the operator. And this particular form happens to be the same as the variant of kernel we define. That's a kernel integrate together with some exponential factor. So, and we immediately know that the vertex functions are the eigenvector of this kernel, and the eigenvalue is denoted by kr. So from the right hand, from this part, you can get a simple formula, it's go back to self with eigenvalue kr. So this is the integral. If you forget about the t star, and now if you want to put t star back, a convenient way to do it is just to take a derivative with respect to the Lyapunov exponent. So you take a derivative, you get a s, which is the integral of t star. Then here you get a derivative kr. So that's the branching time. So using this diagrammatic derivation, you see that branching time multiply the normalization factor is actually the box and the glue part in this consistency equation. So let me recap and summarize this part. We started with a consistent condition, and we found that this consistent condition directly leads to the equation 1 over c equals the 2c, and the cosine factor times the middle part, which is tb times this normalization factor. Okay, that gives us the ladder identity. Next, let me try to use this ladder identity to do something. So I will describe two types of application. First is this identity can be used as a computational shortcut going between C and the lambda L. Second, I will use it to prove exact maximal chaos in a 1D model. So let's start with the first application. As I mentioned, the SYK model at a strong coupling consists of two sectors of degree of freedom. First is a soft mode, which is described by this so-called Schwarzian action. If you want to know all the leading order effects, that's enough for calculating a calculation purpose. So you use this Schwarzian action, you can back out the Lyapunov exponent. back out the leading order OTOC, which you can basically compute a prefactor exactly. And for this Schwarzian action, you always end up with maximal chaos. However, you know, this is not the full answer, because there's a subleading correction to the Lyapunov exponent. So using this effective description, you lose that piece of information. To get back that piece of information, you can use this ladder identity. So in the leading order, you know C, you use this ladder identity to derive the cosine factor, which tells you the correction of Lyapunov exponent. So you end up with an equation that this correction is proportional to C and the inverse proportional to TB. I want to mention that this in Matasina Stanford's derivation of the correction, it's kind of a black magic where you see this derivative k. It's kind of using a mysterious trick to get back that. However, in this ladder identity, it's kind of, we understand that it comes from the consistent condition where you cut in these ladders. The second part. So, in many cases, I mean, almost all the cases, the Lyapunov exponent is easier to get, but the prefactor is hard to get. For example, in a practical model, like you put in some more realistic interactions, you can still use the kinetic equation to solve the Lyapunov exponent, but the prefactor is hard to compute. It's not like you have an effective description, you can compute the exact four-point function. Now you can use this ladder identity to back out to C exactly. For example, in the large QoS, like even in this simple model, it's still hard to get the prefactor. In this model, you can solve the Lyapunov exponent exactly by solving this equation. By solving the kernel equation, and the Lyapunov exponent is proportional to V, is equal to V. V is determined by the coupling constant. However, it's not easy to find the prefactor of in OTOC for the large QSYK. Recently, there's a paper using the operator growth picture and the Liouville theory to solve that problem. And they have the answer that's consistent with what we can get using a simple ladder identity. So you see that the OTOC will be proportional to 1 over cosine V pi over 2. In the strong coupling limit, V close to 1, and it gets enhanced. And for the weak coupling, V is close to 0, you don't get enhanced. And the soft mode just become not soft. The second application I will show is trying to interpret this identity in a slightly different way. And in particular, we can discuss OTOC in a one-dimensional model, for example, SYK chain, we used in 2016, is coupled SYK dots with four-format interaction. Well, you can also make the same story in the model with hopping. That's done in this paper. For our purpose, using this four-format interaction is easier because we can solve everything analytically. Well, for other models, you probably need to use numerics to solve the complicated equations. Now, the viewpoint we will take is we interpret this ladder identity as a relation locking the analytic properties of all the parameters. Imagine the parameters here will depends on other external parameter like momentums, and this equation just tells you whenever you encounter a zero somewhere, it has to be canceled by some other factors. To be more explicit, we are going to compute OTOC for operators at two different locations. So it's just a fermion putting at a different location, so you have additional parameter, which is the space separation, spatial separation. And you solve it by going to momentum space. At momentum space, you can solve for each momentum eigenmode, OTOC at momentum p. And fortunately, OTOC at each momentum p also satisfies the kernel kinetic equation. The ladder diagram still dominates, and the retarded kernel in our case factorizes. It factorizes into a spatial part times a temporal part. And it has some simple analytic expression. And this spatial part can be interpreted as a band structure. The details are not important. The important thing is, using the ladder identity, we can relate the upper exponent as a function of p to the prefactor as a function of p. So we can back out the p dependence of each prefactor by the p dependence of Lyapunov's exponent. The dependence, well, in principle, you will have also have dependence on branching time and its normalization factor. But turns out in this model, their dependence is weak along the in the domain we are interested, and they don't vanish or diverge in the region we are interested. So we can just set them to be constant for simplicity. So insert this identity into the expression for OTOC, what you get is a simple explicit Fourier transform. The prefactor will go here, so it becomes 2 cosine lambda p over 2. Now the key point is this prefactor could have a pole. It will have when it have a pole, it will have a non-trivial contribution to the system. So here is just an explicit integral. We can continue by doing this integral explicitly. Sorry, I'm running late. Okay, so we're interested in this part to get rid of the rest constant. And we're interested in locate the butterfly wavefront. Now, to finish this integral, well, simple way, it's in a large space and time separation, we can estimate by the saddle point analysis. The saddle point analysis gives you a saddle point in the imaginary axis, and you can determine the butterfly velocity by back out by evaluating quantities at that saddle point. However, the relevant saddle point is along, as I said, is along the imaginary axis. So in order to finish the saddle point analysis, you need to deform your integral contour from the real momentum to the imaginary momentum. And it's possible when you do the contour deformation, you will encounter a pole. When you encounter a pole, you need to be careful, and you should revisit your previous saddle point analysis and add additional term. So there are, in general, two scenarios. So the first scenario, what you did is safe. The saddle point is smaller than the pole, so it's safe to deform the contour. But the second case, you will encounter the pole. The second case occurs when your Lyapunov exponent is relatively large, but you don't need that to be arbitrarily close to one. You just need to exceed some threshold. When you end up with the second scenario, the pole contribution will give you a piece which grows exactly at Lyapunov exponent 1. And it has a sharp wavefront. It's exponential decay in a space, and the final prefactor will be given by this formula. So in the SYK model, at a strong coupling but not necessarily infinite coupling, that's indeed the case. The second scenario will happen, and what you observe is in a large distant asymptotics, you observe a region where the Lyapunov exponent is given by the exact maximum chaos. It's given by 1 in this case. So let me summarize. So in this talk, I try to derive a ladder identity which relates the prefactor and the Lyapunov exponent. And in the ladder identity, there is a new time scale, which is branching time. So the question is whether this branching time is useful for any other purpose. For example, does it related to any thermodynamics, and like if you go to one-dimensional model, high-dimensional model, does it relate to transport? So far, we don't have a definite answer to that. It's an open question. And I also show some applications. First application is to use it as a computational shortcuts to determine a correction to a Lyapunov exponent, which will inverse proportion to the branching time. So that's somehow the branching time will show up in the chaos discussion, but the question is whether they show up in other discussions so that you can relate chaos to the other properties of a system. The second application I showed as a way to prove maximal chaos using this latent identity. However, it's kind of a calculation. We still don't have a very nice picture why it happens. So if you interpret the chaos propagation as the process, you first affect the second sites, and then let the chaos grows locally, and then you affect the next one, it grows locally, you will never get an enhancement of the Lyapunov exponent. Somehow, the phenomenon here is that it's a collective phenomenon. It's some collective mode which has enhanced the Lyapunov exponent. So following this idea, the next step is, well, to me it's interesting to trying to design a 0 plus 1 dimensional model which has this maximal chaos in some kinematic region. With that, thank you.
Question about the branching time interesting. The branching time is defined in terms of the generating function for the out of time order correlator, right?
It's defined by this function kr, which is the eigenvalue of the retarded kernel.
Around there, you introduce the generating function?
Yeah, I introduce the generating function to give it interpretation as a branching in the diagram. But that's just a tool. But it's not necessary. Yeah.
Well, the generating function actually has an application within thermodynamics. So this statement that out of time order correlator equals the moment of a generating function is a way of casting a fluctuation relation for the out of time order correlator. The fluctuation relations are equalities derived in non-equilibrium statistical mechanics. They're basically strengthened second laws of thermodynamics.
Let me try to understand. So when I say generating function, which generating function? You're not saying this, right?
So like the bottom right-hand equation over there.
This one?
The bottom, all the way on the right.
Oh, that?
Yeah, roughly that statement.
Oh.
And so you can have the out of time ordered correlator on the left of such an equation. And that equation is basically a statement of fluctuation relation, which is one of these strengthened second laws from non-equilibrium statistical mechanics. It's like taking the second law, making it stronger, and letting it apply to arbitrarily far from equilibrium situations. So you can prove a fluctuation relation for the out-of-time order correlator, and it's more or less that statement. The generating function turns out to be a summed quasi-probability distribution, which is like a probability distribution but more quantum. There's this connection to thermodynamics through this generating function, which is related to the branching time. I wonder if that could provide a path toward an application of the branching time in thermodynamics.
Yeah, probably I will have a better answer after listening to your talk.
Okay.
Any other questions?
If there are no more questions, thank you again.